There are three things that I'd just like to mention today. The first is the question of a commemoration service, and I understand that the Prime Minister will be making a statement on that this afternoon. I talked to the Prime Minister over the weekend. I believe it's totally appropriate to have a commemoration of the very large number of people who have lost their lives. This is an awful event, and it's one that we must treat with respect and we must acknowledge. I'm not persuaded, however, that a day's holiday is the best way of doing that. I've talked to people in Christchurch and they've said, we've got a huge job ahead of us, we'll be flat out, how's it going to help us if the rest of the country is having a day off? And I think that that is right. But I do think that employees, I think that students at school or at tertiary institutions should be given a time off to be able to commemorate the service at the time that it happens. The second thing is the Botany by-election over the weekend. Needless to say, we were very pleased with the results of that by-election. The Labour candidate, Michael Wood, was able to increase his majority, his percentage of the vote, from 21 to 28%, and the national majority fell by between half and two-thirds, albeit on a low turnout. That was a good result for us at a time, usually when the government would be doing reasonably well, given the prominence of its role over the earthquake. The third thing is about the foreshore and seabed legislation, the Marine and Coastal Areas Bill. This is intensely divisive legislation. I've had literally hundreds of letters on it. I regret any decision to introduce or reintroduce the legislation back into the House this week. We're focused on the earthquake. We're focused, albeit with differences between parties, on not having intensely partisan division. There is no rush for this legislation, and I believe that the government could defer it coming back into the House for passage in the House this week. Those are the three points I wanted to make. Are there any questions?
Are you saying that the government wanted a day's holiday and it's not?
Oh, I'm not saying anything of the sort yet. I don't know what the Prime Minister's decision will be. I had an amicable discussion, in fact several discussions, with the Prime Minister. We want to be pretty much on the same page on this one. I've expressed my viewpoint. I've undertaken to talk with people, including my Christchurch members and others in Christchurch. I've done that. There may be a further discussion with the Prime Minister, or he may have already decided that he wants to go a particular way on it.
How do you rate the government's response in Christchurch?
Oh, look, I don't want to be critical of the government in any way. You know, this is not something that I want to politic about. But I understand why members of my caucus living in Christchurch still want to advocate strongly on behalf of their people. I think that Leon Dalzell was right. The eastern suburbs had been overlooked. That was something that the head of civil defence has subsequently acknowledged. People there in appalling circumstances still. No power, no water, no sewage, too few portaloos, and facing damaged homes and liquefaction. More attention needed to be given to the eastern suburbs rather than simply the central business district.
You can't blame the government on that though, can you?
Oh, look, I'm not aiming to blame anybody at the moment. I'm saying there's a problem and it needs to be remedied, and that's the approach that we're taking. We'll raise questions with the government. We've given the government, through Parliament, enormous powers. They're wartime powers to deal with this situation, and we expect to see those powers used to act in a timely way, but also not to make arbitrary decisions. I think, and probably Gerry Brownlee would now acknowledge, that his comments on wiping out all of the heritage buildings minus five or six wasn't the right way to go. It wasn't inclusive. It didn't involve discussions with others in the city, including those who are stakeholders.
Do you think he's acted preemptively there?
I think it was a mistake of judgment, and I think he would probably acknowledge that now, and certainly the Prime Minister would acknowledge it on his behalf.
Can you is Labor going to rethink some of its own policy? Because I know obviously National's talking about you know, its own spending decisions, but if you just look at Labor for a second, I mean, are you still going to go ahead with a $1.3 billion tax package that looks at this tax-free zone? Is that still a good use of money in this time?
Is it a good use? When you've got the economy, even before the earthquake, headed for a double-dip recession, people unable to make ends meet, facing rising costs, the building industry in the worst recession in 50 years, and retail and tourism likewise in recession, actually that's not a time when you start cutting back, and least of all is it the time when you cut back people on middle and low incomes. If there was any mistake, the mistake was on the part of the government to give huge tax cuts to people on very high incomes before they were aware of whether those things were affordable or not. Obviously, in retrospect, their tax cuts, $2.5 billion to the top 10%, have not been affordable.
So Labor's not going to make any changes to spending?
Oh, look, we will look, as we approach the election, at the timing, phasing in of our policies to ensure that they are fiscally responsible and affordable. But we're not in the business of ruling out policies that we've expressed support for. There may be some impact on timing, and I've said before that in relation to infrastructure, there's plenty of room for reprioritisation. You would not, for example, be putting missiles on frigates at the time when infrastructure rebuilding at Christchurch was far more important. You wouldn't be building a holiday highway that may be convenient on long weekends for people going up to their batches, but aren't as important as the rebuilding of Christchurch. So those sort of decisions have to be made, and I would expect the government to be making those decisions.
Well, so you're saying things are less affordable at the moment, so that would indicate that you know, you talked about timing, that maybe some of the promises that you're making
right now. No, I think if you look at what the government and the Treasury has said in its latest report, there will be a hit to revenue of maybe up to $5 billion over 4 or 5 years. As Bill English acknowledged, in the context of $330 billion, over that period of time, it's pretty small. We expect reinsurance, we expect the Earthquake Commission funding, and we expect borrowing to be appropriate ways of meeting the capital cost of rebuilding Christchurch, in addition to some necessary reprioritisation. That's a responsible stance.
What about your pay for it, Julie, if Labor was looking at expanding that?
I think that you look at policies that are good policies, and you say if there is a problem with revenue, and the problem with revenue is not simply the earthquake, it's the fact that economic management has failed to produce growth in our economy, unique other than for one other country in the OECD. If we go into a double dip recession in the third year of the national government, that is a reflection on their economic management. If the situation is more difficult, it may take a little longer to phase in some of the things that we would otherwise want to do, given our commitment to a fiscally responsible stance.
So you don't mind the government borrowing more in the short term in order to pay for the crime?
Oh, look, if you're rebuilding a city, that's what you have to do. The rebuilding itself will take place over 10, 15 years. The cost of that will be spread perhaps over a generation. It's appropriate to borrow for the building of capital structures such as a new central city area. It's not appropriate to borrow for tax cuts for people at the very top when those tax cuts haven't even served to stimulate the economy and keep it moving.
You'll be borrowing for tax cuts, won't you?
No, we won't be borrowing for tax cuts. The question that you should be asking, Guy, I'll decide how I'm going to answer them too, thank
but
you.
You'll be borrowing.
And what I'm saying to you is that when the government decided that it was going to spend $2.5 billion a year on tax cuts for people who are in the top 10%, then they knew that they would be borrowing to pay for the cost of those tax cuts.
But this is
That's a question you need to ask them.
Well, thank you for that. But this is a question for you and the thing that you're responsible for.
Yeah.
You're going to need to borrow for those tax
cuts. No, let me give you another example of what I've already explained many times. No, don't interrupt me, please, while I'm answering your question. In the paper, there was a case of a very wealthy property developer in Auckland, David Henderson. In the court, it was revealed that over 16 years, he paid just over $1,000 a year in taxation. There are rip-offs, there are rorts, there are people that have been dodging paying their fair share of tax. That will be a significant part of the funding of any tax cut that will benefit middle and low income earners under Labor.
Are you going to fund a $1.3 billion tax package?
No, you heard what I said. I said that would fund a significant part of it. And people at the top have got a windfall gain from the tax cuts at a time when everybody else, middle and low income earners, are finding it really hard. We'll have to pay a bit more, and that's fair. That is what should be happening when times are tough.
So none of the money of that tax package?
It won't be borrowed. No, I've told you that. We will be looking at growth over the period of time that we're introducing that policy, and that will fund anything not covered by dealing with tax dodgers and the extra amount that will come from top income earners.
How easy do you think it will be to deal with the tax dodgers?
I don't think it's ever easy. But when you've got those sort of loopholes that the tax working group highlighted, half of the top 100 earners in New Zealand paying a lower tax rate than you'll be paying because they can do their business through trusts and other dodges, that's wrong. You know, everybody should get a fair go and everybody should pay a fair share, and that's what Labor will be about.
So do you have an idea about how much you get?
I used just one example, which was people who were able to heavily leverage purchase of rental properties and offset the costs of that against income tax that they would normally be obliged to pay. We know that we've got $200 billion worth of rental property, and it produces a net return in terms of income tax. In fact, more money goes back to those people than we get from it. You know that there are tax dodges there that have to be closed to be fair to everyone.
Do you have an idea about how much you can get?
I think the calculation on that was, I'm trying to remember now, it's about $260 million simply from that loophole alone.
So where are you going to get the other $1.1 billion?
Well, because that's only one example. You know, how is it that a property developer that's a multi-millionaire pays no taxation? Is that right? I don't believe that's appropriate. If he's not paying his share, and his kids are still going to school, getting hospital services, getting the protection of the police and the justice and the correction system, he should be paying his fair share along with everybody else. And there are too many people that simply aren't paying their fair share.
On the Fortran CB, when should the government reintroduce? How much time should it actually for it sort of decent to bring
it
back?
There's no rush to bring this legislation back in. There is absolutely no reason why it has to be rammed through the House, just as there was no reason, in fact, why the 4,500 submissions should have been considered in just a couple of hours by the Select Committee. That is abuse of the democratic process. Bringing this in now, while the whole country is focused on the earthquake in Christchurch, is another way of ramming legislation through with too little public scrutiny. It's wrong to do it now. It should be put off, I think, at least a couple of weeks, if not a month.
Should no legislation go through until the earthquake?
No, I'm using that as an example because there is intense division between parties in Parliament over it. It's a piece of legislation that is not urgently required, and it's a piece of legislation that should not be smuggled through while people have their focus on the events in Christchurch.
Well, just getting back to this, but what would Labor's process be for the heritage buildings? Obviously you'd want to save more than what Jerry Brown was talking about.
Well, you know, half of the heritage buildings have been red stickered. The other half are safe to be in. He said, in highly emotive language, these are killer buildings. No, I'm sorry. Actually, the buildings that killed the majority of people were built in the 1960s and 70s and in no way represent heritage buildings. That's the CTV building and the Pine Gould Corporation building. I just think he needs to step back from that. More heritage buildings will be lost. We know that. There are buildings that are not safe to go in and won't be safe, and they'll have to be demolished. But I just think that you have to take a calm and considered approach to this, and you have to consider the stakeholders in Christchurch. You can't make unilateral decisions. We've given Jerry the power to do it, but he should not be making unilateral decisions. He should be working those things through with proper inclusion of all of the groups with an interest in it.
Do you think that he maybe has a bit close to this, and is he the appropriate person to be the earthquake minister, given that I understand his house was badly damaged, he's a Christchurch local, he's, you know, maybe emotionally involved?
I think probably all of our members of Parliament in Christchurch are emotionally
but
involved.
But the power that he's
got. No, that's true, and I understand that he's under a lot of pressure and we're trying to be as helpful as we can to him. But I just think, you know, they are very serious powers that we've given to the government, and they've got to be used in a responsible way. And I think the acknowledgement this morning by Mr. Brownlee and Mr. Key and not wanting to come on the program to debate those issues is an acknowledgement that Mr. Brownlee misspoke on that issue. I hope that he'll reconsider it, and we'll certainly encourage him to do so.
Can I just clarify from that last scene that the press conference going back a minute or so? So it's Labour's position that aside from some phasing, some timing issues, you won't be offering any of your spending policies to take account of the economic.
Oh, look, we'll be looking at putting before the country a fiscally responsible programme given the circumstances. The circumstances are that this country looks, and has been predicted by the Prime Minister himself, to be going back into a double dip recession. That will affect the timing of the sort of things that we might want to introduce being brought in. But in the longer term, when this country has the best terms of trade in 37 years, we know that the economy will be growing and more will be affordable. But timing will be one of the factors by which we can be fiscally responsible and bring progressive policies into effect.
Well, why did Labor vote for the earthquake legislation if you've now got such a problem with the way that Kieran Brown is using it?
I'm not saying it was the wrong thing to vote for the legislation. I think in extraordinary times, the government needs extraordinary powers to be able to do things in a timely way. What I'm saying to Jerry personally, and we'll be saying it to him personally, is these are important powers, but you need to exercise them in a considered way. And making a pronouncement that you're going to wipe out all of the old buildings with the exception of four or five is not the way that you'll carry the local people in Christchurch with you. You need to reconsider that policy, and I think he's probably in the process of doing that right now.
Would you save more buildings outside those fires have you got?
Look, you save the buildings that you can. Safety is a paramount consideration, but the heritage of a city is also important. Costs will be another factor. The earthquake did change what could be saved and what might not be saved. And we'll lose a lot of the heritage of Christchurch, and that's a tragedy for the city. But we need to maintain those buildings that are safe to maintain, and not to make a blanket comment that old buildings don't have any place in the future of the city. And that was how most people interpreted Jerry's comments.
The Prime Minister's been talking about interest rates quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's responsible of him to talk about the OCR as much as he has done?
Well, there are two people in the country that have to be very careful not to look like they're instructing the Reserve Bank Governor what he should be doing. One is the Minister of Finance and one is the Prime Minister. Yes, it's fine to make a general comment that lower interest rates would be good at a time when the country looks to be going back into recession. One of only two countries in the developed world to be doing so. But the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance have to be careful that they do not look like they are directly or indirectly telling the Reserve Bank Governor what it should be doing. It could be interpreted as such, and that was the danger of his comment. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.